This is one beautiful group of people. Driving up to the church, my kids were like, "Whoa, Dad, it's huge." I pastor a very small church in Waupun, Wisconsin, and I'm privileged to pastor those people. That is a bit of a smaller setting than this. So they were very excited to see us pull up to the building. My daughter actually said, "Dad, they asked you to preach?" I said, "I'm not sure if they knew what they were asking for, but yes, they did." Amen. Amen. I do want to give honor to your pastors. Brother Schumacher, great man of God, and Brother Mike Portman, who is a dear friend of mine, also a great man of God, having the privilege to serve with him on the children's committee. And folks, I want you to know he's a tough, tough guy. He's a hard worker, and I appreciate him dearly. Also, I do want you guys to know that I believe that this is an answer to prayer. Me being here, my uncle and his family are here with me today, and he was actually, he and his family were at my church last weekend, and he said, "Nephew, if you were just a little bit closer, I'd be in church all the time." This was Sunday. Wednesday, I get a call from Brother Mike, and he said, "Hey, man, I was in prayer, and God brought you to mind." He said, "I want you to come preach." I said, "Well, absolutely. Let's do it." And so here we are. But what I didn't realize at that moment was how close this church is to my uncle's home. It's 11 minutes away. And so, amen. Amen. As much as I want people saved, as much as I want people to hear the word of God, my family's so important to me. And it's neat when God answers those type of prayers. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 4 and 5. And I just want to speak to us a little bit tonight. Again, some of you, some of my young bucks back there, love you guys. So glad to see you. Some of you have heard me kind of preach before or have seen me around. I want you to know I'm glad that we have this theme of breaking out on Sunday nights and getting with the program a little bit. I promise you, I will never do anything that would undermine this position. I would never do anything to lower the standard in which we hold. With that being said, I also believe like God is calling us to do some things. Amen? In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Lord, I pray right now that you would anoint me, Lord God, to speak your word in truth and with love. I pray, Lord God, for those under the sound of my voice to, Lord God, have their hearts open to receive. Let them be fertile ground that as the seed of your word goes forward, Lord, that it would spring forth in lives and in hearts. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I believe that you and I have been given power to overcome, to persevere, and to prosper in the name of Jesus Christ, not for our own selves, but in glory to God. We see in the word that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. This is one of those memory verses we learned as a little kid. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Spiritual couch potatoes don't need anything from the Lord. Yet they always wonder why they're in the dumps. Through faith and the spoken word, we can move mountains. And no matter what rises up against us, we'll not be subdued, but we'll be victorious. I've titled this message, "Do." To simply do. And I'm addressing everyone in the sanctuary today. Like I said, I preach to small crowds. I preach to big crowds. I preach to young people. I preach to seasoned individuals. But I believe that this message holds its truth throughout. He's calling servants. He's calling you and I to not only be witnesses, but participants in the miracles that he is waiting to pour out in these last days. This group right here has been primed and is ready to do. We find our biblical example in John chapter 2. We'll read verses 1 through 5. Amen. Do we have that on a thing? If you got your Bible with you, I'll just get going. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, "They have no wine." Jesus said unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." His mother saith unto the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Now this mother knows who her boy is. She had some visitations prior to his birth. She had a pretty good idea as to who he was and what he was capable of. She understood that his ministry was just as much about doing as it was about speaking. I had a man tell me once that ministry was about rolling up your sleeve and doing, because it's after that that people are willing to listen. It's very difficult for somebody to hear your words and follow you if you're not willing to lead by example. And I believe that it's each individual's responsibility as a Christian, as someone who has taken on the name of Jesus, to be that example through action. Now, I don't necessarily believe it's actions that save people, but I do believe that there is an obedience that must take place before we find ourselves in that place of grace. There's an obedience that must go forward before God is able to shed or to pour his blood out upon us. There's some things we got to do. There's some things we've got to be. Here's my 2 cents. Words can be misinterpreted, but actions speak for themselves. You can't deny results. You and I have opportunity each and every day to demonstrate the love of God to people around us. It doesn't necessarily simply take place within 4 walls and on some pretty carpet. It takes place out there where people are hurting and in need and need the voice of God and a demonstration of his Holy Spirit in their lives. Now, pardon me if I get a little excited, but the reality is you and I can find ourselves in position of doing ministry each and every day. It doesn't take a microphone and a pulpit. It takes God's Spirit moving through us and us allowing him to be what it is he's chosen to be in our lives. Folks, you can't deny results. You can't deny results. You can't deny the fact that when you do what God is asking you to do, great things take place. Has anyone ever been there before? Anyone here ever try to run from God? No? Oh, just me. I was 25 years old when I was called to this type of ministry, to start a church. I was teaching a Bible study. I had about 30 people in that Bible study. And we had baptized a bunch of them. They were getting the Holy Ghost. Great things were happening. I went to my pastor and I said, "Hey, I need a way to get all these folks here." He said, "Well, let's have you preach once at church." I said, "Okay. Don't really consider myself much of a preacher, but I'll do what you asked me to do. You're my pastor." And so I prepared for about a month and I was ready, and it was my first time and I was sweaty and I was really, really nervous about the whole thing. I literally spent a month preparing this sermon. A month. The day I woke up, I, as clearly as I've ever heard God before, heard the Lord say, "You aren't preaching that." I was stepping into the shower and I literally said, "Oh no!" Just like that, to where my wife literally came in and she said, "Are you okay?" And I looked at her and I said, "Baby, everything that I put together, I can't say any of it." Now please understand, I'm not the guy that finds the voice of God in everything. You know what I mean? If I lose my keys, it's, you know, and then I find them, I'm not, you know, the Lord told me where my keys were. Now, if he does that for you, that's awesome. Okay. But as real as I've ever heard God in my life, I heard him tell me, you are not preaching that sermon. I went, oh, no. So I came out of my shower after I told my wife I was okay. I come out and I said, baby, remember that pizza we had last night? Just go ahead and bag some up. I'm gonna stay at the church between services. I was preaching Sunday night just like this one. My first time. I said, just pack the pizza. I got to come up with something else. And I remember getting to church. I was so scared. And I'm like, God, you got to help me. And so I began to pray and I began to seek God. And after it was all said and done, the only thing that was left out of the original sermon was the first scripture text, which I didn't even write. Couldn't take credit for it anyway. And I remember thinking to myself, okay, God, I'm going to try to do my best to do what you're asking me to do. Because I don't know necessarily if I'm cut out to be what it is I think you're asking me to be. And I remember God specifically impressing upon me, I'm not asking for your talent. I'm asking for your obedience. I'm asking for you to be willing. I'm asking for you to step out and believe that I can do through you all things. I love when God moves through action. John chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. And there were set there six water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. Man, I love when a job is done to its fullest potential. It's amazing to me the mediocrity that we find in the world. It's amazing to me that we feel like we can just get by. But here's the reality. You can't fool God. He knows whether it's been done to the best of your ability. Listen, he ain't asking for you to be perfect. He's asking you to strive toward it because he'll make up the difference. He's asking you to do. Servants didn't just get enough water in the water pots to get by. They filled it to the brim. I believe there was some that would slosh over as those servants were carrying it. God wants us to overflow with the miraculous. He wants us to overflow with power and with love. He wants us to overflow with that blessing. He wants us to overflow. John 2, 8 and 9. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, they knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom. Listen, we've got to note that the cisterns had just been used as foot washing water dispensers and collectors. The servants knew. They knew that these were dignitaries and important people that were drinking from foot washing jugs. That'd be like serving drinks from a porcelain toilet bowl. Yes or no? I mean, I don't care how many times you flush the toilet, it's still a toilet. I don't care how many times they tried to wash that foot washing jug, there was still some nasty stuff in there. I mean, imagine what those folks walked through. It's not like our streets today. I'll save you the history lesson, but you can look it up. Now, this wasn't done out of spite. We've got to understand, nobody here was making a cruel joke out of it. They were using what they had. They were using what was available. Folks, he can use you. If he can use me, he can use you, because I know what I was. And I know where I come from. And it is simply by His grace and His blood that I've been washed clean on the inside. He calls the bridegroom aside, and in John 2, 10 and 11, He says unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth His glory, and His disciples believed on Him. This is the coolest part. They take the filthiest vessels and produce inside of them the best stuff. Now listen, I'm just going to be honest. If you can't clap for that, you don't remember where you come from. If you've gotten too churched out that you can't... Listen, folks, I remember what I was. And the reality is that I believe the best stuff is happening now, not because of me, but because of He. And that ought to be somewhat of a relief to us, knowing that no matter where and no matter how we have gotten to the point we are now, Jesus can place within us the best stuff. The stuff that will be served to dignitaries. Stuff that will be served to leadership. Listen, on your jobs and in your schools and the places that you go, you are an influencer because you are showing forth His miraculousness. Listen, the miraculous isn't always blind eyes healed and lame, you know, now leaping. Deaf, you know, hearing and all that crazy stuff, and those are great things, and I've had the privilege of witnessing these things. But the greatest miracle of all is you and I. The fact that we've been blood-bought. The fact that we have been grafted into a body that we ought not any part of. We have no part of this in and of ourselves. It is His goodness that overflows outside of us. Not only did the disciples put their faith in Him, but did you notice that the only ones that knew about the miracle were the servants? Jesus was displaying something here. If you place yourself in a position of service to the Lord, you're going to see some cool stuff. You're going to get to be part of some cool stuff. Amen. Pastor Schumacher, I believe what you told me out there, that you started in a real small church too. But you placed yourself in service to the Lord, and look what the Lord has done. And it's not about this place, but it's about the opportunity of reaching as many people as possible. That's miraculous, folks. And guess what? Nobody knows to the depth of what folks like this go through to see people saved. Nobody truly understands the burden that the pastor carries in order to deliver what it is God has placed on their heart for the people of God. Nobody quite understands exactly what goes into making sure that you're able to drink from the fountain, from the living water. Amen? Amen. The ministry of Jesus started with the miraculous. He was showing who He was so that they would put their faith and trust in Him. This was an intimate demonstration. There were no crowds around Him to this point. But because people start to see who He was by what He did, the results are undeniable. Remember the woman at the well who gets the male red? She goes and gets the whole town to come and meet Jesus. John 4, 14 through 18. But whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus says to her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and him whom thou hast now is not thy husband. I think that we as a church, we long for that pool of Bethesda experience, but avoid the well experience. And it's just because it's uncomfortable. nobody wants to hear all the stuff that they've done wrong. But I want you to know that each experience is just as important as the other. The healing, the cool stuff, the dancing, the shouting, the running. Where's my brother over there? Going crazy up at the front. I'm with you. And I love those experiences. But what about that quiet time at home when God begins to really work on you as an individual and begins to speak those things? Now look, we can get upset with God and say, God, I'm doing my best here. We can find ourselves in position where it's like, okay, Lord, I've done all I can. But the reality is it's those times at the well where he begins to speak and that life begins to flow out. That's where real change happens. All of those cool miracles that we see. My daughter was healed, man. I watched a child. Listen, I have medical documentation. Can you see me over there? I have medical documentation that child was born without an ear canal. And in the middle of a general conference, my little girl looks up at her mama and says, Mama, I can hear. Now, I want you folks to know I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. God did not answer my prayer, but when she prayed, God answered that prayer and God did the miraculous. I looked inside that child's head and I saw a hole for the very first time in that girl's ear. And I love those miracles. But I need my little girl to have an experience at the well where God calls and says, baby, I need to explain some things to you. I need to share some stuff with you. There's some things in your life you've got to change and get right because I'm calling you. I believe she was healed so that her faith would be in a place that when God speaks to her, she'll listen and answer. She don't need an ear. Long way from the heart. But she needed that experience to put her in position where when God speaks, she obeys, she hears, and she goes. Listen, God is calling us to do. He is calling us to do his will on this planet while we have some time to do it. John 4, 28 through 30. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city. And called those men. She left the baggage behind. She didn't take back with her the burden that she was carrying. Because she had to get. And then she says in verse 29, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. I mean, imagine. Imagine if she said, hold on, Lord. I'm glad for all this stuff, but let me get this water back to where I was going. Oh, hold on, Lord. I know you've been talking to me, but I got some stuff to take care of first. Hold on, Lord. I know you explained some things to me, and you brought conviction into my life, but I'm just not quite ready to give up what it is I was doing. Thank God she left it behind so that she could get to others and tell them about Jesus Christ. Thank God. This happens so many times in service where God begins to deal in certain areas of our lives. We've got to realize that it's not condemnation, it's conviction. And God desires to work a miracle in our lives so that we'll be a living testimony of his goodness and his mercy. Notice how Jesus tells her, just do what I tell you to do. Notice how he tells the servants, just do what I tell you to do. Says to the guy, drink from the living water. You'll never thirst again. Says to the servants, go fill it with water. And they're going to drink. And they're not going to be thirsty anymore. See, there's kind of this theme that goes to the word of God that Jesus Christ fills us up. That he doesn't leave us wanting. He gives us the best stuff. It may not come from where you necessarily expected it to come from. But there it is nonetheless if we're willing to do. John 4 and 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified. He told me all that ever I did. This is when we as servants realize the need for the power that he gives us. Life is not easy. I don't know if anybody noticed that. I don't know if anybody here, I mean, if you've got an easy life, let's talk because I want to get your secret. Life is tough. I mean, that's the reality. I mean, I don't know how people live without the Lord in the state that we're in. I've had people say, well, that's because you're weak. Yes, I am. Duh. I'm absolutely weak. I'm a feeble creature. I don't like getting sick. I'm a baby. I don't like being uncomfortable. I don't like long car rides. I don't like it too hot in my house, nor do I like it too cold. There's some things I just don't like. Life ain't easy on this guy. Could you imagine if I didn't have the Lord? I'd be one crabby dude. We see Jesus hesitate in the few minutes prior to the first miracle when he said, it's not my time. I don't think that's because he doubted what he was here for. This is just my thought and my opinion. I think it's because he knew from that point forward that even though the road he would travel would be the will of God, it was definitely the road less traveled. I think he knew from that point out that the timer had started, that he was going to be led to the cross, that he was going to find himself in those positions of being backstabbed by a friend, being plotted against by religious folks. I think he had an understanding that, man, once I do this, once this happens, life is going to get tough. I'm not just the carpenter's son anymore. When you take on the name of Jesus, you become a part of something much bigger than yourself. And I will tell you that you may be going through a tough time, but you've got to continue to stand in this faith. It's time to declare who you are in the face of your situation. I'd like to share a reading that I use often. It's one that I read to myself when I get a little bit ornery. If I'm having a bad day, it's just a good reminder. It starts off by saying, I'm part of the fellowship unashamed. I have Holy Ghost power. The die is cast. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of his. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, and colorless dreams. There will be no more tamed vision, chintzy giving, or dwarfed goals. I no longer need prosperity, position, promotion, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by present tense, by faith, walk by patience, lifted by prayer and labor, by power. My face is set and my goal is heaven. My road is narrow, my way is rough, but my guide is reliable and my mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, turned back, deceived, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of my enemy, or negotiate at the table of the adversary. I won't give up, let up, shut up until I've stored up, prayed up, and paid up for the cause of my God, Jesus Christ. I'm a disciple of his. I must go till he comes, give till I drop, preach till all know, and work till he stops me. And when he comes for his own, he'll not have any problem recognizing me, because I will not be discouraged and I refuse to quit. Can we stand together, church? In Matthew chapter 16, it says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus has set before us a path of which we need to follow. He's our example.
We can talk the talk, but will we walk the walk?
Remember, the only reason that we have power to move mountains is because we will have to move mountain-sized obstacles that find themselves in our way to the lost. I believe that Jesus Christ is calling us to follow his lead. And that wasn't just for then. God is looking for someone to take this life-giving news to the lost and to a dying world. He'll give you strength, but we need to continue to do what he's asking us to do. Maybe this is new to you. Maybe you've been doing this a long time. But as we just sung earlier, better is one day in his courts than thousands elsewhere. Now please understand what that means. If you're in the court, it's because you're there serving. I think people just sometimes hear that and go, yeah, that court where I just soak it all in. It's better as one day in the service to God than a thousand anywhere else. Folks, I want you to know on a Sunday night, you're in the greatest place possible. I don't know how you do it, but where I'm from, we believe in that time at the altar. And folks, this is a big altar. There's lots of room. I bid you to come. I ask you to step out in faith and allow God to move upon you. To have faith that as you move, God is leading you to do what it is God is calling you to do. If you need forgiveness, I pray that you ask forgiveness. You need more power, I pray that you begin to ask his Holy Spirit to give you that power to continue to move forward, to do what he's asking you to do. This in Jesus' name, Lord, we praise you. Lord, we magnify you. All over this building, go ahead and just begin to worship the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, we praise you. All over this house, begin to seek God in his goodness. Lord, we magnify you. Lord, we praise your name.